Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio, and we're going to continue with the podcast series, The History of Red Storm Entertainment. On this episode, we have Elizabeth Laverso. She's the Vice President of Product Development at Red Storm. Make sure to head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes, make sure to share it also with your friends. We're everywhere, just search for Gamer Tag Radio. And we'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
I'm Elizabeth Laverso. I'm the Vice President of Product Development.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. As a VP of product development, for our audience, can you please elaborate and define your role here at Red Storm?
Sure. So I'm the troublemaker. I make sure that everything runs smoothly if we can. Make sure the teams are staffed, that the designs are approved and executed on. And overall, in the end, I end up cleaning stuff up and making sure that things happen.
As a troubleshooter and as a cleaner upper, how has that within the framework of Red Storm and working on all these award-winning titles over the years, what are some of the keys to success when partnering with other studios?
So the keys to success when partnering with our other studios, first and foremost, is communication. We have to establish a rapport with each other so that the teams, can work together as well as possible. It also is a lot of patience. You have to teach everybody to sometimes take a step back and realize, you're dealing with your partners and your teammates and trying to make the best game possible. And, sometimes, things can get a little rough, especially in the end, but it all seems to work out pretty well. And we've been able to produce some top-notch AAA games.
No, absolutely. You've been co-developing so many titles. Matter of fact, how long have you been at Red Storm?
So I will be here 20 years in February.
Everybody's 20 years. That's actually.
So I don't know that. Yeah, we're all kind of getting a little old maybe, but yeah.
No, we're just getting better. I'm old too. So that actually brings up an interesting thing. So Red's, this is like a family, right?
Yes.
More than just a job. Seems like everyone has been here for a very long time and you have your highs, you have your lows. So what's some of the more memorable things that you can think of over the past 20 years of being at Red Storm that you've been involved with?
Well, so I guess one of the most memorable things was probably our success in creating Ghost Recon. One of our most exciting titles that we've probably ever done. We went from being a PC powerhouse to transitioning into the console business. And I think that we really cut our teeth on doing Ghost Recon on the Xbox first, which was most important. And then, developing other titles and multiplayer expertise within Ubisoft. Red Storm, that's where we came from. Rainbow Six originally was a multiplayer developed title. And most of Ubisoft's titles were not necessarily multiplayer to begin with. So we brought that to the table. And that's probably one of our biggest, medals in our forte is doing multiplayer.
So I actually want to spin this back to Ghost Recon. It's interesting that you brought that up because we were talking about this previously, but I remember just as a player when that came out on the original Xbox and was on Xbox Live.
Yep.
And I was very skeptical. It's like, is this going to work?
So
I'm just thinking from your perspective being here at the time, what were your thoughts on that? Going from, like you said, being on the PC to now you're bringing a multiplayer game to a console and on a service that at the time obviously was not proven.
Right. Well, so, it was challenging for sure. And really exciting because, you know, we had a lot of support from Microsoft going in. They wanted their console and their service to be successful. And we wanted, you know, the world to see Ghost Recon, especially the console community, because, you know, we had done ports before, but not in-house. We had always used external development partners to do the Rainbow Six ports. So really, I mean, that was like our first step in. And it overall, it went really, really well. It, you know, it's nerve-wracking to be on the cutting edge with anything. But because they were such a good partner and, you know, we had the team that had created the engine in-house. So we had a lot going for us. And, you know, I think that it was good for everybody, both Microsoft, Red Storm, and Ubisoft.
Oh, let's actually bring that modern day, just stand along those themes. Because, again, you've obviously had to co-develop and work with a lot of different partners within Ubisoft, but even outside Microsoft, PlayStation, you have obviously you're doing things on the PC as well. So when we look at how complex everything is in today's world, as far as gaming goes, and you let's just take The Division 2 as an example, a game that you're helping to co-develop. What's that day-to-day like having to work with those external partners to get everything together? And you even mentioned earlier, it's kind of at the end when everything has to come together. There's the word I'm looking for, maybe chaos. Is that the right word I'm trying to say? And just getting that all settled and getting that product finishing out the door.
Right. Well, so working with all the different partners and putting a game together is, you know, there's a lot of wheels in motion. And luckily with The Division 2 and any game that you've it's the second or third version out, you've worked through a lot of the main kinks. And we've been doing development on the consoles for such a long time that we have good partnerships. You know, we know what we're responsible for. When we're going in, we know what the consumer is expecting. They're expecting, you know, a play experience that is top notch, coming Sony, Microsoft, whoever. So we also have to deliver from the Ubisoft side. And all of our services have to be, you know, on 24/7 and top notch as well. So it can be chaos because, you know, in the development environment, you're not necessarily out in the wild. So you're not capable of recreating an exact, you know, replica of what would happen when you've got servers all around the world and people right. joining from wherever. And, you know, you just can't get those numbers. You, what we try to do is work with our partners as well as, you know, we do beta programs. We try to get, you know, our gamers that can get in early access and play and then test everything that we possibly can to make sure that it all works in the end. But, you know, oftentimes things ship and they're just not, you know, they're not exactly how you thought they were because it's just, it's not the same as being in the wild. So
let me ask this question. So you bring that up. So ship a game isn't exactly what you tested and thought it was going to be. There's a bug, there's an issue or whatever. Internally, what's the process like for that? Just identifying what it is and the troubleshooting, what's everything that goes in with that?
So once we launch the product, we watch them very closely and we try to react immediately. If we see something that's going on, or we have servers that go down, you know, we have 24/7 support and we, you know, try to keep the games yeah. live. So we also look at what, you know, what's going right, what doesn't, you know, do as well as we thought that it would and make a plan. Sometimes it's a bug fix. Sometimes it's a design change, you know, or they've blown through the content and you need new content out there, right? To keep them engaged and enjoying your games. So we have a constant plan going on that not only are we fixing, updating, watching, as well as creating new content so that our gamers are engaged and happier with our products.
Now, last question I have for you. Been asking everyone this because it's more of I want to hear your perspective on this. So when I think of Red Storm, I think of Tom Clancy. So to ask you, when you think of a game, what makes a game a Tom Clancy game?
Well, so a Tom Clancy game, I think that people would say it's realism. If you look at the Tom Clancy books and the storylines and everything else. You know, there's a lot of international intrigue and things like that, but there's also a believability to them. They're not the fantastical. So it's like a real world scenario, and you get to play oftentimes in these heroic roles that the common everyday man wouldn't play in. But that's Clancy. It's an authentic feel. It's real world weapons and scenarios, and it's, you know, taking it to that next level and letting the player get into those character types and being the hero.
That's fantastic. I love hearing the different perspectives on what people think is a Clancy game. So I think that's it. Any other questions? We're good, guys? Okay. Well,
Elizabeth, oh, cool. Yeah, all right.
No, thank you. I appreciate
it. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. We're going to wrap it up here. Gamertag Radio. This was a short, short episode, but don't worry. Guess what? Monday, we're going to be back with a brand new episode of GTR. And actually, we're going to start our E3 predictions. You don't want to miss that.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 predictions. You hear me?
The next episode, we're going to be talking about Xbox. What are our thoughts, our predictions? What's going to happen during the week of E3? Any big, huge announcements? Any surprises? Or just a disappointment? Stay tuned. We're going to talk about all that on the next episode. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.